sing, you are here.
You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. And you're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing, you are here. You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, Lord, and you're working in this place. I worship.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You're here, Lord,
you are here, and you're touching every heart. I worship.
Take that today.
I worship you. I worship you.
Turning lives around.
You are here. And you're turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you.
Mending my heart today.
You are here. And you're mending every.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop,
cause you are
Waymaker.
darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Thank you, Lord. You make a way for us, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor and adoration, Jesus, today. Declare that you are worthy of worship, Lord Jesus. Your name is highly exalted above every other name.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever sing. Could ever bring, we live for you.
Jesus, the name.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever sing. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Oh,
creation will praise you, Jesus. All creation will worship you, everything that you have made. All things were made by you, Lord Jesus, and everything that you've made will give you praise and thanks.
Oh, praise the name.
Jesus. You've loved us, you've washed us in your own blood. You've given us life, you've caused us to be priests and kings unto our Father with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you will cause us to reign together with you forever and ever. Amen, amen. Come on, give him one more great praise in his house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take a few moments to greet some friends nearby, circulate as much as you safely can, and then you can find your seat.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. Let's just express our appreciation to Pastor Nick and the worship team for doing an awesome job. Let me just tell you what, when we're worshiping like that, the thought that always goes through my mind is heaven is going to be good. Heaven is going to be really, really good. Amen? It's going to be just so wonderful to be together in the presence of the Lord. And it's great to be in the presence of the Lord. We're glad that you joined us here in the sanctuary for worship. We want to welcome everybody that is joining us from home on live stream this morning. We're sorry that we can't be physically together, but we're glad to be connected in the spirit. Do want to let everybody know that today is Communion Sunday. At the end of the sermon, we're going to receive communion together. Hopefully, if you're in the sanctuary on your way in, you picked up the serving of communion when you came in the door. If you didn't, there are servings that because of COVID, we're not passing communion, but you can pick up a serving of communion at the main entrance. If you're watching from home and you want to take a moment and just quickly prepare communion, some juice and a cracker, you can share communion with us from home at the end of the service today. Just want to remind you what we're doing to keep you safe here on campus during this season. The governor of Connecticut requires that everybody wear a mask when you enter this building and when you leave this building. Once you are seated and you are safely social distanced, if you want to remove your mask for worship, you're welcome to do that. If you're more comfortable wearing the mask, then by all means, you can continue wearing that. We have 1,000 seats. We have 11 pairs of double doors in and out of the sanctuary. For those that are watching from home, we do have seating out on the patio. If you prefer to be outdoors, you can snag free tickets on Eventbrite every week for our services, and you can either join us here in the sanctuary or you can join us out on the patio outside. In 2 weeks, we're going to resume kids ministries in the 10 o'clock service, in this service. We will be implementing some additional safety measures to keep our kids safe and to keep our leaders, adult ministry leaders that work with them safe. Pastor Denise, if you're a family and you have kids that are in those ages of children's ministry, this week you'll be receiving some additional communication from Pastor Denise about kids' ministries. We will not be passing an offering plate this morning. Because of COVID, there are offering boxes at all of the entrances and exits. You can leave an offering there if you brought one today. If you're watching from home, you can give online anytime by going to our website, htchurch.com, and clicking on the giving link. Probably shouldn't tell you this, but if you had told me in the middle of March that we would be shut down for 12 weeks and then two more in the month of August, I wouldn't have believed that financially we would have been able to survive that, just carrying all the expenses of this new facility. But I'm so blown away. The Lord has been so faithful and so amazing to us, and you have been so faithful in your giving. We can't say thank you enough. We made it through the shutdown. Now we've made it through the summer. And I believe if the Lord helped us make it this far, he's not going to drop us now. He'll help us make it all the way through to the end of the year, right? So we give thanks to the Lord, and we want to thank you for all your faithfulness in giving as well. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture this morning. You could actually say it by heart, I think. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about prayer opens the door. Prayer opens the door. Matthew 7:7. On your way in, you received an outline of today's sermon, and you can follow along, fill in the blanks, watch the screens. If you're watching from home, in the chat section of the live stream, there is a link to a PDF file. And you can download that and print out a copy of the sermon outline today if you'd like to have it. Matthew 7:7, you could say it by heart and you'd even know you can. You know what it says? It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I want to talk to you about prayer opens doors. So last month, Denise and I dropped off our twins, Benjamin and Madeline, for their freshman year at Oral Roberts University. When we said our final goodbyes in Tulsa, our daughter Maddie broke up just a little bit. When we got home, I looked in Ben's room and I felt sad. I looked in Maddie's room and I felt sad. And then the next day I said, gee, the peace and quiet is kind of nice around here. So during our travels home, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary together. We stayed in a beautiful old inn. Thank you. So we've been married 25 years. This coming Tuesday, I turned 54, so it's all out on the table. But we stayed in a beautiful old inn, and we just had so much fun laughing together. I really think I could get used to this empty nester thing. So one morning, we had breakfast out on the front porch of the inn. Now, I have to say before I go on with the story, in fairness to Denise, the door to our room, it was a beautiful old place, but the door to our room was sticky, and you really had to give it like a good tug to open the door. So we had breakfast out on the front porch, and we went to go back inside the lobby, and Denise grabbed the doorknob, and she starts pulling and tugging on the doorknob. Now, if you know my Denise, Denise is not the kind of person that does anything half-heartedly. I mean, she put her foot up on the lintel, and she is pulling on that doorknob with all, you know, you thought her life depended on it, you know, like she was trying to get away from a fire. So I just reached from behind her, and I said, what are you doing? And I turned the doorknob ever so slightly to the right, and the door popped right open. This is a picture of us laughing. We were easily amused, I guess. But, you know, when I got home, I was swiping through our travel photos, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this is what he said. He said, Glenn, right now, many of my people are pulling and they're tugging on doors, trying to get them open in their own strength. Only prayer will open the doors, and prayer will open the doors effortlessly. I really believe that I have a word for somebody listening to this service today. Prayer opens the door. I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. First of all, prayer opens the door to faith in Jesus and to growth in his love. Prayer opens the door to faith in Jesus and to growth in his love. You know, the longer that I follow Jesus, the longer that I serve in ministry, the more and more I realize the vital role of prayer in people coming to faith. Denise says, whenever somebody comes to faith, there is always a prayer trail, and it's absolutely true. The New Testament book of Acts records that in the Greek city of Philippi, there was a little prayer circle of women that met on a riverbank. Although they were Gentiles, they prayed to the Jewish God, and they wanted to know more about the Jewish God. God heard their prayers from that riverbank, and from Syria, God sent the apostle Paul 1,000 miles all the way through Turkey and over to Greece just to seek them out. And when Paul began to tell those women about Jesus, God opened their hearts and enabled them to believe. After that, many, many people in the city of Philippi became believers in Jesus, but it was prayer that opened the door. In the city of Caesarea in northern Israel, the book of Acts says there was a Roman centurion named Cornelius, and just like those women in Philippi, Cornelius was a Gentile, but he prayed to the Jewish God. One day at 3 p.m, the customary Jewish hour of prayer, God sent an angel to Cornelius and directed him how to find St. Peter. when St. Peter began to tell Cornelius' family and his close friends about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they became believers. It was prayer that opened the door. A while back ago, Denise worked with a woman who was raised a Buddhist, but as an adult, she became a believer in Jesus. So Denise was curious to know, how was it that she came to faith in Christ? And her coworker shared that as a small child, she had a nanny who was a Christian. And every night before bed, that Christian nanny would pull her onto her lap and she would brush her hair and she would sing Christian songs over her and she would pray over her. Denise's coworker said, she prayed over me with this strange talk that I didn't understand. The nanny was praying over her in the spirit. You know, more than 30 years later, with several advanced degrees and a successful professional career and enjoying an executive lifestyle, that woman became a believer in Jesus and she shared her faith with many others. There is always a prayer trail. I want to tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus in this place this morning, you're here because somebody prayed for you. Somebody laid the foundation, and that's why you found Jesus. And prayer is not only the key to finding faith, prayer is the key to growing in the faith and in the love of Christ. St. Paul wrote two letters to his friends in the city of Thessalonica. In the first letter, Paul prayed earnestly that his friends would grow strong in their faith and deeper in the love of Christ. Paul sent that letter with Timothy. Timothy came back shortly afterwards with a good report that the Thessalonians were growing by leaps and bounds. And so Paul wrote in his second letter, I thank God because your faith is growing more and more and your love for one another is increasing. You see, precisely what Paul prayed for his friends, is what they experienced. Over the years, I've had many people come to me and say very sincerely, Pastor Glenn, I wish I had faith like yours. I want to tell you, it is not rocket science. It is not a secret. It is not complicated. You can. Faith is a gift from God that is bestowed mainly through the vehicle of the Word in answer to prayer. So if you will pray and you will read the Word, you will grow in your faith. Few thoughts about prayer opens doors. Prayer opens the door to faith. Another thought, prayer, I like this. Prayer opens the door to personal success. Prayer opens the door to personal success. If you study the heroes in the Bible, you'll find that the key to every one of their lives was prayer. And the greater the prayer life, the greater their accomplishments for the Lord. Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Daniel are some of the ones that stand out. The stronger, the more vibrant, the more intense the prayer life, the greater things they accomplished for the Lord. Jesus was thoroughly devoted to prayer. Prayer was the secret of St. Paul's success. And prayer is the secret to our personal success as well. Listen, especially in this whole crazy COVID season, I feel like there are people that are pulling and they're tugging on doors, just like Denise at the inn, but prayer is the knob that will open the door. Prayer opens doors of opportunity in fields that were previously closed to you. I want you to follow me. On the second missionary journey, Paul wanted to minister in Turkey, but the book of Acts says in chapter 16, the Holy Spirit would not permit him to go to Turkey, to stop in Turkey. Instead, the Lord called Paul on to Philippi in Greece, where Lydia and her prayer circle were waiting for him on the riverbank. Prayer opens the door for divine guidance through prophecy, through dreams, through vision, through angelic visitations, even through direct encounters with the Lord. Over the last 24 years, the Lord has led us on many strategic occasions through prophetic words and prophetic dreams and prophetic visions. In a vision, God led Paul away from Turkey and on to Greece.
And later on, God opened tremendous doors of opportunity for Paul in Turkey. Later on, when he came to Troas, which is in Turkey, he wrote that a door was opened for me. You see, prayer puts you on a divine timetable. Somebody needs to hear this word from the Lord today. Listen and receive this word. A delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. While you're praying, God is working out things behind the scenes that you don't even know yet, that you don't even know how huge it's going to be. You don't even know the fruit that's going to come. We sang it during worship. Even when I don't see it, you're still working. Even when I don't feel it, you're still working as I'm in prayer. We never intended to build this building in two halves as we did. Originally, we designed this whole building together on one level with no basement under it. The Greenwich zoning laws at the time wouldn't permit us to have a basement. We didn't own enough land to build that much space. But we couldn't afford to build the whole building in one pass, so we chopped the building in half and we built the first half of the building and we put a basement under the first half. I have to tell you, after we finished the first half of the building, I really struggled for a while. Seriously, I wondered if I had failed God. I wondered if I hadn't had enough faith to build the whole building in one shot. From the very beginning, that old building was really too small for us. But about 5 years later, the Lord signaled to me that it was time to get moving on this half of the building. One of the ways God spoke to me in that season was through a dream. Now, you have to understand that we were in absolutely no financial position whatsoever to begin building again, but I called our attorney and I said, we're ready to move forward with the second half. In order to build this half of the building, we understood that we would either have to buy more adjoining land or we would have to abandon the classrooms in the basement of the first half of the building. Literally, the town of Greenwich would make us fill them up to the top with dirt. So I called and said, we're ready to move forward. We weren't ready. We didn't have any money. We couldn't buy any more land. There was no more land for sale, but the Lord said, go. A few days later, the attorney called me back and he said, Glenn, you are not going to believe it. He said, they have changed the zoning laws in your favor temporarily. Now listen, if you don't know, this is Greenwich. The zoning laws never change in your favor in Greenwich. So planning and zoning voted to make basement space free. And at the same time, they meant to put through new restrictions on how much green space had to be on the property, but they forgot to put that part through. They put it on the table, so they approved the free basement space, but they didn't put the lot coverage restrictions through. So that means at just the moment that I contacted our attorney, we were able to apply for zoning approval, not only to keep the old basement, but to build this building with a basement under the entire thing. And we were able to up the seats from 600 to 1,000, which was the original goal, and add all the parking outside without buying any additional land. And as soon as we got approval for all of that, the zoning regulations changed again, and what I had in the old building exceeded the maximums for this property. If we hadn't moved at exactly that moment, we wouldn't have been able to build any of this. Now listen, you might say that there's nothing special about buildings, and you're absolutely right, but here's what I know. I know that God intended this building to be here exactly the way it is for such a time as this in the world, and I know God has plans to do big things in this place. I know because he's done so many miracles for us. Listen, a delay is not a denial. It's a delay for divine purposes. Prayer puts us on a divine timetable. Sometimes in prayer, God says to us, not yet. Other times, God says to us in prayer, not you. Sometimes, I like this. This is a word. Somebody needs to hear this today. Sometimes prayer directs us away from tasks
that God has reserved for others. You know, part of personal success requires that we know exactly when and where we should focus our energy and our time and our resources. Paul wanted to go to Western Turkey. God said, not yet. Eventually, he did go there, and God gave him great success. Then Paul wanted to go to Bithynia in Northern Turkey along the Black Sea, but God said, not you. Paul never preached the gospel in Bithynia, but his ministry colleague Silas did go there and preach the gospel. Listen, somebody, I just feel this so strongly for somebody today. You need to hear this. There are many worthy endeavors. There are many noble causes. There are great needs everywhere. But right now, we need the direction of the Holy Spirit to know exactly where He wants us to focus. Listen, during this COVID season, God is giving us all a time of opportunity. He wants to refocus us through prayer. There are some things you've wondered, should I get involved or should I not get involved? And for some things, God is saying, not yet. For other things, God is saying, not you. He wants to use this opportunity to refocus our energies, for it is God who works in you first to will and then to do His good pleasure. Prayer opens doors for personal success. I like this one. Prayer opens doors for success in highly toxic environments. Prayer opens doors for success in highly toxic environments. Eventually, God did permit Paul to go to Western Turkey, but in Ephesus, the environment was highly toxic. He wrote to the Corinthians, "Pray for me. A great door of effective work has been opened for me, but there are many adversaries." Listen, the demonic opposition to Paul in the city of Ephesus was so tremendous that he compared it to facing wild beasts in the Roman Colosseum. Such was the intensity of the spiritual warfare that he fought in that city in prayer. He feared for his life, and he was still shaking when he arrived in Corinth. In fact, he was such a mess, Jesus had to come stand by his bed one night and calm him down and reassure him that things would go much differently in Corinth than they had in Ephesus. But in spite of all that, God gave Paul tremendous success in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus, founded by Paul, became the seat of Christianity in the second century after the death of Jesus. John, the beloved disciple, eventually pastored that church. The New Testament was completed and it was compiled and put together there. Prayer opens the door for success even in highly toxic environments. Somebody be encouraged today. What could be a more toxic environment than prison? A little while later, Paul was in prison in Rome, and he wrote to the Colossians, "Pray for me that God might open a door for our message so that we might proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it boldly as I should." Follow me if you will. Paul is in prison facing the death penalty for preaching the gospel, and what he prays for is the opportunity to preach the gospel even more while he's in prison. "Pray for me that I might have the opportunity to do the very thing for which they want to kill me." How many of us would have the boldness to make a prayer request like that? But you know, God answered Paul's prayer. Paul wrote to his friends in Philippi, "Because of my chains, God has given me the opportunity to preach the gospel to the entire palace guard, and even some members of Caesar's family have become believers in Jesus." And because of Paul's boldness preaching in prison, the Christians in Rome, who were so fearful of persecution, became emboldened to share Jesus as well. Prayer enabled Paul to thrive. Somebody receive it. Somebody take encouragement from the Lord today. Somebody, it's in your situation. I don't know if it's in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. I don't know where it is, but prayer enabled Paul to thrive in a toxic environment, and prayer will enable us to thrive as well. Now, here's a good word. Prayer also opens a door of escape when the toxic environment gets too much for us. Hebrews tells us that we should approach God boldly in prayer, And God will give us grace to help us in our time of need. God will help you endure much more than you thought you could endure. But listen, when the heat gets too hot, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, God will make an escape hatch for you. He'll make a way out of it for you. Listen, I just feel this so strongly. In this season, someone is pulling and you're tugging on doors to open in your own wisdom and in your own strength, but prayer is the key. I believe that my God is big enough to help us emerge out of this whole crazy COVID season better than we went into the season. I believe that the Lord is able to help us emerge stronger, better, better equipped, better resourced. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or even imagine. I believe God is big enough to do that for us. Gotta hurry. Few thoughts about prayer opens the door. Prayer opens the door to faith, to personal success. Another thought, prayer opens the door to effectiveness for Christ. Prayer opens the door for us to introduce non-Christian people to Jesus. Going back to Cornelius in the book of Acts, Cornelius wasn't the only one praying. St. Peter was praying as well. And in prayer, God prepared St. Peter's heart to minister to Cornelius and his family and friends. When the messengers from Cornelius knocked on Peter's door, Peter was ready to go relate to Gentile people with whom he had never had any contact or connection before. He had nothing in common with them, but he was prepared by the Spirit to go be effective. The Gentiles embraced Peter, and Peter embraced the Gentiles. Prayer equips us, listen, with spiritual authority and with anointing to minister to people. In prayer, God equipped Peter with the Holy Spirit to be effective. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, when Peter walked through the door of Cornelius' house, the presence of God walked through the door with him. Peter shared the message of Jesus in a way he had never shared it before to an audience that had never heard it before, and God gave him tremendous results. Beloved friends, listen, prayer is absolutely the key to you and I leading our non-Christian family members and friends and neighbors and co-workers to faith in Jesus. Listen to this. Prayer gives us the right to speak spiritual truth into their lives and the anointing to do it effectively. Everybody look at me for just one moment. Imagine what would happen if this fall we all decided I'm going to be somebody's prayer trail. I'm going to be the one that was praying. I'm going to be the nanny that was combing the hair of a little girl and singing Christian songs over her and praying in the Spirit over her. I'm going to be the Peter in someone's life. I'm going to be the Paul in someone's life. I'm going to be the reason, the prayer trail, that somebody finds faith in Jesus. That's a pretty good goal, isn't it? Prayer opens the door. Let me finish with this thought. Prayer opens the door to faith, to success, to effectiveness for Christ. Here's a final thought for you. Prayer opens the door for changed atmospheres. Prayer opens the door for changed atmosphere in your home, in your community, in your region, even in our country. I think we can all agree that our country desperately needs an atmosphere change right now. Beloved, listen to me. The politicians on either side cannot solve the problems because our country's problems are not essentially political. They are basically spiritual. At the heart of the human problem is the human heart. You can address the system all that you wish and try to fix it, but if you don't fix people's hearts, you ain't fixing nothing. Paul wrote to Titus chapter 3, at one time, listen, at one time we were enslaved by all kinds of passions. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God appeared, He saved us. He washed us. We were reborn. We were renewed by the Holy Spirit that He generously pours on us again and again and again. Transformed hearts lead to transformed culture and a transformed society, and prayer is the key. Prayer can change any atmosphere. I absolutely believe it. Prayer can change the atmosphere in your home. I know, because I witnessed it firsthand when I was just a boy. Prayer can change the atmosphere in your workplace. Prayer can change the atmosphere in your school. Prayer can change atmosphere even in your church if it needs changing. Prayer can change the atmosphere in your neighborhood and in your city. Prayer has changed the atmosphere of New York City in the past, and prayer will change it again. Can I tell you, in the late 19th century, there was a prayer revival in the city of New York under the ministry of a man named Jeremiah Lamphere. People started gathering in churches over their lunch hour to pray, and such a revival shook New York that spontaneous prayer meetings. Now listen, I want to tell you something. In the 19th century, they dressed differently. They were maybe a little more polite, but they were no more holy or less holy than we are today. And on the street corners of New York City, spontaneous prayer meetings would erupt where people would start dropping to their knees and repenting of their sins and calling out to the Lord. You can read about it in the history and in the newspapers. It created pedestrian problems. People couldn't pass because there were hundreds of people on the street corners of New York crying out to God. Prayer has changed the city in the past, and I believe prayer will change the city again. Prayer can change the atmosphere in Portland. Prayer can change the atmosphere in Seattle. Prayer can change the atmosphere in Chicago, Kenosha, Minneapolis, Louisville, Rochester. Prayer can change the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. and across our entire nation. It happened before, and I believe with all my heart it will happen again. During the month of September, there are several opportunities to invest in prayer here at Harvest Time. Next Sunday, we have a Back to Church Sunday next Sunday, and after each service, we're going to have a life group expo. You can check out all of the life groups that we're offering this fall, some of them meeting here, some in homes, different venues, many on live stream or Zoom, so that people at home can participate as well. We have Bible study groups, we have freedom groups, but we have a number of groups devoted especially to prayer. We have prayer groups for men. We have prayer groups for women. We have prayer groups for men and women. We have prayer groups for couples. We got prayer groups for everybody. One of the best ways for you to grow in prayer is to pray along with someone else. On Friday night, September 18th, we're going to be meeting right here, Pastor Ruth, for Fire in the Night from 6 p.m. till midnight. We're not going to go all night. We're just going to go for 6 hours. You can come whenever you want to get here. You can stay as long as you like to stay that evening. But we'll be live streaming for those at home as well. And then on that day, on September 18th, we're going to begin 21 days of prayer and fasting for our nation. We're going to be here in the sanctuary every morning at 7 a.m. Hope some of you can join us. If you can't join us physically at 7 a.m., we'll be on live stream. But as a church, we're going to get together. You see, God said, if my people, the ones called by my name, God didn't invite unbelievers or ask them or put upon them the mission of praying. He said, if my people, the ones called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. So we're inviting you to join in with us. Get involved with the prayer group. Join us Friday night, September 18th. And over that 21 days, would you put it before the Lord? Would you spend a day or several days or a day or two a week or some meals every day? Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you, would you make an expression of fasting and would you pray with us? And let's believe that the Lord is going to do something wonderful. Look at me for just a moment.
Let's stop pulling and tugging on doors in our own strength. And let's let prayer open the doors. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Let's give him a good praise this morning. He's worthy. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Pastor Nick, help us sing if you would.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are.
This morning, we're going to share together the Lord's Supper. If you received a serving of communion on the way in, I want to invite you to find that. If you're worshiping with us online at home, we invite you to participate from home. Paul wrote to the believers in the city of Corinth, I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're so good. When you introduced yourself to Moses, you introduced yourself as the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, merciful and forgiving. Lord, you show your mercy. You extend your mercy to 1,000 generations of those that love and serve you, that are loyal to you. Lord, thank you so much that somebody prayed for us, that there's a prayer trail in each one of our lives that led us to a moment of faith in Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that in this season, as we turn ourselves and apply ourselves to seeking your face, to pursuing you in prayer, Lord, we pray that you would do exceedingly abundantly above. Right here at home, in our own families, in our own homes, our own marriages, our own relationships, our own friendships. Lord, in our church, in this community, in this region, in New York City. Lord, let it just ripple all the way across. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that has washed away every sin stain. Thank you for the body of Jesus that was broken for our healing and so that we can be one. Lord, we receive by faith everything purchased for us on Calvary. If your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen? Let's receive communion together. You can receive the bread, and after the bread, you can receive the cup. Thank you, Lord. After the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Come on, church, would you just give them a little thanks? We thank you, Lord Jesus.
We worship you, Lord Jesus. Just lift up your voice and thank him. Just say thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Worthy, 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 worthy. Come on, would you just pray this prayer, simple prayer of invitation with me? Would you just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts. Fill your church. Thank you, Jesus. Just refresh us. I want you to just take your hand, if you would. Would you just lift your hand to the Lord? You know, the Bible says when we delight ourselves in him, we'll be like a tree planted by streams of living water. And the Lord will make us fruitful in every season. In bear market season, in bull market season, in COVID season, in social unrest season, in election, in every season, the Lord will make us fruitful. Our leaves will never fade, they'll never wither, and everything we touch, the Lord will cause to prosper. Come on, just lift up those branches to the Lord. Your leaf will never fade. Your leaf will never wither. You'll be fruitful in every season. God's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you the innovation. He's going to give you the creativity. He's going to give you the endurance. He's going to give you, he's even going to bring to you the people, the manpower, the right personnel. What you need, he's going to bring to you to be fruitful in this season. Fruitful in your marriage. Fruitful in your parenting. Fruitful in your friendships. Fruitful in your workplace. Fruitful for Christ. Come on, do you believe it? Just say, Lord, I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I want you to just join me. Pastor Nick's been involved with our worship for 26 years at Harvest Time, and he's led worship off and on a weekly basis. Our worship pastor, Jason, left us 2 years ago, and Pastor Nick has been leading us on a weekly basis for 2 years, along with all the other hats that he wears around here. Pastor Nick, I can't even begin to tell you how grateful we are to you for just everything you do. Next week, our friend Anika Tilly and Scott and Katie Troyer are going to be here, and we're going to have a great time worshiping the Lord. But thank you, Pastor Nick. I'm going to put my mask on. I'm going to go to the foyer. I want you to sing it one more time. Your Waymaker, Miracle Worker. After you've sung, you can be dismissed. God bless you, everybody. Have a great Sunday in Jesus.
You are Waymaker.
Everybody, have a great week in Jesus.